What is darker? What is darker? The night or death? What is brighter? Light or life? It's good to ponder these things once in a while. We all live in fear of darkness, real darkness, kind of darkness you can't escape. Few things are as frightening as total darkness, like the darkness of the grave. And there's nothing darker than sin and death. As Christians, we live in the hope of life. And there's no greater hope than eternal life. And there's no light brighter than the hope of eternal life. People who lived prior to the birth of Jesus, prior to the Christian era, lived and shared a culture dominated by the fear of death. Sin and superstition were powerful in those cultures. If you read the literature from those times before the birth of Jesus, it's a melancholy literature. You don't ever find stories of hope. Just a kind of melancholy, a statement of fact. Maybe if they talk about the religions, there's no hope in those religions. Their gods either bring them good luck or bad luck. It's just a melancholy, but not a hope. Superstition. It's the absence of God, the Almighty Father. St. Paul says of these people, they lived in darkness. One of the great reasons for the explosion of Christianity in that world was because it immediately spoke a different language to a world that was a slave to fear of death. Now, look what happens with superstition. When you live with superstition, when you make room in your life for superstitions, you're in violation of the first commandment of the Ten Commandments of God. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. That was the reason for the Ten Commandments, was to begin to free the Jewish people from the superstitions and pagan religions that were going on all around them, many of them based upon superstition. When we make room in our life for superstition, we're making space for a belief that limits God. You can't have it both ways. You can either have the superstition or you can have the Almighty Father. You can't have both. When you follow your superstitions, you're saying that there are supernatural forces as powerful as God, that share divine powers with God. If you practice the belief that there are other forces with divine powers, then God is not almighty. That's how superstition works. So God is only one force or power among many forces in the universe, divine forces. And if you practice superstition, God is not God for you. You have ceased to have faith in Almighty God. Instead, you are making room in your life for strange gods, multiple gods, nameless gods. This is the realm of the devil. And he really does exist. And he lives in this realm. This is dangerous for our eternal salvation, because God commands, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. There's no such thing as a harmless superstition, because the only superstition that works requires that there be another force. In superstition, you're returning to the pagan times before the coming of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ. You're returning to the pagan darkness and the fears that ruled all of human culture and life before Jesus. You want to go back to being pagans? It's happening all around us. Fear. Addressing that fear with pagan practices, with fortune-telling, soothsaying. There's no such thing as a harmless superstition. You're returning to the godless darkness from which Jesus came to save us. He worked hard to save us from that. Do you want to go back there to the pagan times? If you believe in witchcraft and curanderos, fortune telling, then you're living a belief that is strange to a Christian. You may have heard me compare superstition and witchcraft to cockroaches. And you know that metaphor I use when you're going into your kitchen, it's late at night, and you turn on the light, it's dark. And you may see on your floor or on the counters a cockroach. And what does it do when you turn the light on? What does the cockroach do? It runs for the darkness in the corners, right? It can't stand in the light. You'll never see a fortune teller practicing their faith in the communion line or coming. I've never seen a bruja, a witch, or fortune teller in the confessional. They don't come into the light. They're cockroaches. That's why the practices of the early Christian church focused so much upon light. This was a brand new message that came to a melancholy, hopeless world. God's light cast out darkness. The star led the three kings to Bethlehem, that beautiful star of Bethlehem. In the feast of the Epiphany, Jesus was revealed to the world. It's a service of light. That feast came many generations before the actual celebration of Christmas. Epiphany was the revelation of the Son of God. And this feast was so great that the early church began to consider the mystery of the Epiphany for 40 days. That the church pondered the coming of the baby Jesus. God as man, as a small infant, from the Epiphany to the presentation of the Lord. This date that we're celebrating, 40 days after his birth, remembering when Mary and Joseph presented the baby Jesus in the temple according to Mosaic law. As it says in the gospel, when the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law of God. The firstborn male all male children were consecrated to the Lord. As it was written, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. This was the practice. But something unusual happened at this particular presentation. It's almost as if God knew it was coming. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. This is an epiphany. You have the three kings who reveal the child Jesus to the world. You have Simeon the prophet who reveals the child in the temple. It's not unlike, Simeon's not unlike John the Baptist later in Jesus' life, where Simeon is saying, "Behold, this is the Christ. This is the Messiah." And John the Baptist later on saying, "Behold, this is the Son of God." And this coming ended the darkness in the world, particularly with the resurrection. Paul understood the darkness in which the world lived. In the book of Hebrews, we hear him say, "Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who, through fear of death, have been subject to slavery all their life." People understood that this pagan superstitious fear was a slavery of sorts. There was nothing more powerful than death, nothing more final than death. And Jesus broke the bonds with his death and resurrection. Because of our baptism, we are free from the fear of death, protected from the devil and the slavery of sin and death. And by our baptism, we are free from the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Those who entertain superstitions are going back to slavery, to darkness, fear. Wherever you see fear, take a closer look. What are they afraid of? The devil uses fear. He wants us to be afraid. This is the work of the devil. Don't return to the slavery of fear and death. Remain in the light, because God commands, "I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me."